morning.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 63. And we're back into the Psalms. So we'll be in the Psalms for a few weeks. And we spent some time, if you are around a number of months ago, in the first 50 Psalms, and we took a few select Psalms, and we took a look at them, and we're doing that again in the next 50 Psalms for the next few months. And so we're going to take a few select Psalms, and we're going to take a look at them. And today is Psalm 63. Psalm 63, read it with me if you have your Bible. And this is a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. And there's quite a bit there. If we were to take the time to look at everything, it would take quite a long time. But I'm gonna focus on just a few things this morning with you, and a Psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah, and he was probably in the desert of Judah probably at least a couple or three times. But so when was this? When he says the king in verse 11, the king will rejoice in God, he's probably talking about himself being king. So that's probably happening when he was king, being in the desert of Judah. And that was probably happening when his son Absalom was conspiring to overthrow him. And he found himself having to flee from Jerusalem. And so he did end up as king in the desert of Judah. And so I think it's worthwhile to look at David and his life and what he has to say. I think there's a lot to learn from him. He's a very key character in the Old Testament and in the Bible. And so here he is in the desert as a king, and he's probably 60 something years old. This is later on in his life, as his own son is conspiring against him, and he's probably, there's threats to his life, really. So he's not really in a happy place when he writes this, and yet he turns to God. And I think what I'd say as a title this morning, what to do when you are spiritually weary, as David might have been here. And the answer is to seek God. So that's what I would say is our title this morning. What to do when you are spiritually weary? Seek God. And so we'll look at how David seeks God, and then from that how we should be seeking God. And so why would Christians need to seek God on an ongoing basis? And perhaps some people are under the impression that you when you're not a believer, when you're far from God, you're unsaved, that you may seek God, to find God, to find salvation, and then when you find Him, you're done seeking. But that's not the case, that you're finished seeking at any point. It certainly is the case that it's good to seek God if you're far away from God and you're not a believer. And so we believe that you seek God and you don't come with your righteousness or your good deeds or good things you've done or bad things that you haven't done to find favor with God. You come to God through Christ. Jesus Christ, a person that Jesus of Nazareth, a physical person that actually existed and was on the earth, died for our sins. And so we come to God through Christ and what He has done. And so as we seek God, originally He will lead us through the Holy Spirit to Christ, who died for our sins so that we could be saved. Then we're saved. And before that, we're not really saved. But once we seek God and we find Christ, the idea is that we're not finished seeking God. And as David says here, O God, You are my God. And in his time, there were people in that time, perhaps, that didn't believe in the God of Israel, the true God. They believed in idols. They believed in other quasi-gods or non-existent gods. And so David says, O God, You are my God. Perhaps there were some people in Israel who would call the God of Israel their God, but perhaps by their actions they didn't really acknowledge the God of Israel as their God. Perhaps Absalom would claim that the God of Israel is his God, but by his actions of rebellion and selfishness, violence, you can't really say that God was his God. But David said, O God, You are my God. But the fact that God is David's God doesn't stop him from seeking God, because he says after that, earnestly I seek You. And so even though David professed the true God to be his God, he hasn't finished seeking. And there's times in his life, and there's probably times in our life, where we feel the need to seek God more than others. And so he's spiritually weary. He says, My soul thirsts for You, my body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And he was in a dry and weary land in the desert of Judah. And so physically, he was probably worn out. He may have been hungry and thirsty. Emotionally and mentally, he was probably weary and suffering because of what was going on in his kingdom. And then spiritually, he felt the need. My soul thirsts for You. And so in his soul, his spirit, he was feeling that too. My soul thirsts for You, my body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. All of him was in need, and he looked to God for help. He looked to God to satisfy that thirst, that spiritual thirst that he had. I think that's a lesson for us, and a lesson that we don't stop seeking, even if we're like David, have been following God for many years. We're going to have challenges as we go on, year after year. We're going to have difficult situations, and we're going to need to seek God again. We're going to need to continually seek God. I think of, once again, those people that perhaps think they come to God at one instance and then they're finished. And then they're finished seeking God, whether it's they're getting saved or whether they come to a point of decision. Maybe they get baptized. Different churches have different beliefs. Maybe they become a member of a church. Maybe they go through something called confirmation. And I think there's a danger regardless of what sort of official or public steps you take, there's a danger in thinking that you're finished, because you're not finished. And if you think you are finished at a certain step of seeking God, if you think you're arrived, then there's trouble. You're going to go through difficult situations like David did, and you're going to need to seek God. It's God has saved us through Christ. He's done the work, and he's now given us the responsibility of cultivating our relationship with him. And so we have the Holy Spirit's help, we have the Bible, and we have the responsibility now as believers of cultivating that relationship with God. And that's a matter of, on a daily basis, daily, weekly, seeking God and taking that responsibility. So that's why Christians need to seek God. It's an ongoing responsibility. So how do we seek God? I think we seek God by praying, and that's what David's doing here. That's what he's doing for certainly 8 out of these 11 verses in Psalm 63. He's praying to God, and I think we could take that example ourselves and seek God by praying. Here's what David says. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. And so on. Praying to God in a way like David's praying here. And it's been said, we should pray when we're in the mood, and we should pray when we're not in the mood to pray. We should pray when we're in the mood for praying, because it would be sinful to neglect so fair an opportunity, someone said. And we should pray when we're not in the mood to pray, because it would be dangerous to remain in that type of condition. So we should pray when we're in the mood and pray when we're not in the mood. And is our prayer life what it should be? I would admit that mine isn't, that I'm not spending as much time in prayer as I should, but perhaps I've improved a little bit over the years. And it's an encouragement to me, and hopefully it might be to you, to start where you are in your prayer life and to move on in little steps from there. It's intimidating, I find, to hear about some sort of great Christians that spend a lot of time in prayer, that spend hours in prayer, that are spending a lot of time in prayer every day. And I'm not quite there yet, but I find it encouraging to take where I am in prayer and spending maybe not very much time, but just to keep doing that and to add to it. In other words, if you are in the mood to pray, go ahead and pray. If things are going well, you can pray and be thankful. It's natural to pray to God when things aren't going well. And you've probably heard the saying, there's no atheists in a foxhole. In other words, when someone is in a really bad situation, the person that's least likely to pray, if things are bad enough, they actually will. And so it's natural for us to pray to God when things are going not too well, when our health takes a downturn, or there's trouble, or things are difficult, or people are perhaps against us. It's natural to pray to God then, and so let's go ahead and pray to God then. But when things are going well, when we're enjoying blessings, it's good to be thankful. Something's good, and we should be in the habit, develop the habit of thankfulness. And it's a challenge to be thankful when things aren't going well, but let's start by being thankful for all those good things that God gives us, even the little things. So Christians need to seek God. What do we do when we are spiritually weary? Seek God. Christians do need to seek God, and we seek God by praying to Him. And we also seek God, I believe, by going to church. In other words, fellowshipping with like-minded believers. And we see that in this psalm as well. As David says in verse 2, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. And it talks about him praising God, and whether that's praising God on his own or praising God in an assembly of Hebrew believers. In any case, he's in the sanctuary and he considers it a priority to be with God's people, fellowshipping and worshiping God. And so maybe we should too. Maybe we should consider it a priority to fellowship with other believers. We seek God by going to church. The church of God is anywhere where there's believers gathered in Christ's name. Jesus said, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. And so, that's one of our priorities. We seek God by going to church, by fellowshipping with other believers, by getting together with like-minded believers in Christ. David is speaking in the past here when he says, I have seen you in the sanctuary. He's looking back to the past. But it's still good because he's able to draw from the strength he's received from the sanctuary, from fellowshipping. He's able to draw from that past experience in a present situation where he's pretty far from the sanctuary. It's a worthwhile thing to do if he can take that experience, take that blessing, and draw from it when he's not there. We're encouraged from the New Testament scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And so the habit is to get together in fellowship on a regular basis. And that'll encourage us, and that'll strengthen us, and that is one way that we seek God. So we seek God by praying, we seek God by going to church, by fellowshipping. I believe we seek God by reading the Bible. It's not specifically mentioned in this psalm, David reading God's word, but I think it's safe to say that David was quite familiar with God's word. You look at Psalm 119, and it's a big, long psalm about David's commitment to God's word. And here in Psalm 63, it says in verse 6, on my bed I remember you, I think of you through the watches of the night. Does he have the word of God with him? Well, if it's not physically with him, it's probably in his head. And he had probably committed a lot of the books of Moses to memory. I would imagine that he did. And so, on my bed I remember you, he says. I think of you through the watches of the night. He's committed to meditating on God. And we have the Bible. We have a lot more of the Bible than David did. And so we have the opportunity to read it every day, especially in this country, in the English language. There's all kinds of opportunity. There's all kinds of translations of the Bible to read. There's every opportunity to read the Bible anytime you want. You can even have it electronically on your phone. And so there's becoming less and less excuse for us not to be reading the Bible. This is God's word, and it's good for us daily. Are we committed to God's word? Are we committed to thinking about it? It's good to go to church, and we maybe get a sermon every Sunday as we go to church. Read the Bible every day, You get a sermon every day. It's God's sermon to you from Genesis to Revelation. And your task, should you choose to accept it, is to take part of the Bible and read it and find out what God's sermon is for you that day. And then you take a little bit of the Bible, whether it's a few verses or a chapter or two, and you take enough time to figure out what it means to the people that it was written to, and then what it means to you. And that's God's sermon to you. And you can reflect on that and think about that every day. You think about God. Are we as committed to God's word as David is? Do we get up at 3 or 4 in the morning and read the Bible? I can't say I do, with the odd exception of maybe if I'm speaking the next morning. But he says, I think of you through the watches of the night. And so that's a challenge for me. Maybe it's a challenge for you to have a commitment to God's word enough that you'll maybe sacrifice a bit of sleep to read God's word. It's hard for me to sacrifice sleep for very much, but I'm challenged to make it a priority. Sacrifice a little sleep to read the Bible, as we sacrifice a little sleep to get together perhaps every Sunday. And to remember the Lord at 9:30 in the morning, you sacrifice a little sleep of sleeping in on Sunday morning. And so we seek God by praying, by going to church, by reading the Bible. And on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. What to do when you are spiritually weary? Seek God. Christians do need to seek God, even if they've been Christians for 20, 30, 40 or more years. We seek God by praying to Him. We seek God by going to church. We seek God by reading the Bible. So I'd like to leave that challenge with you this morning. We need to seek God on a daily basis and take responsibility on a daily and weekly basis of cultivating our relationship with God. I remember talking with a roommate who was sort of an older brother in the Lord anyway than me, a little more experienced. And sometimes with popular culture, it's hard to know what to think. Most of it's not any good. I think of music, since I'm a little bit inclined, and some musical groups would claim to be or seem to be Christians, maybe. And then there's sort of the middle ground. There's your popular groups or artists and those that are Christians. There's one some of you may know called a band called U2. And so perhaps they're Christians. And perhaps if you're looking for signs of Christianity in their songs and their lyrics, you can find them. I was a little bit skeptical, and I remember in a conversation with this roommate saying, are they Christians? They talk about, why would they say something like, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, this man? Because I've found Christ, and I've found what I'm looking for. But this roommate says, well, something of what we were talking about this morning, they're Christians, they're believers, but they haven't found what they're looking for in terms of their spiritual walk, or they still have more to learn. They're still seeking, perhaps, and maybe that's true, and maybe it is true. They're believers, and they still haven't found what they're looking for in terms of their spiritual walk. And so maybe that's true for us. We found Christ, but we're continuing to seek, aren't we? As David did. And as we seek, we're going to find God. If we're committed to prayer, if we're committed to fellowship, if we're committed to God's word, we're going to continue to seek till our dying breath. We're going to continue to take that responsibility of following God, of seeking God, and may God strengthen us in that on an ongoing basis from here as we leave. May the Holy Spirit encourage us to seek God on a daily basis, to be disciplined enough to pray, to fellowship with other believers, to get together, and to read the Bible regularly on a daily basis. May we be encouraged to do that, to seek God, to not be complacent, to not be too satisfied with our spiritual health. If regardless of our physical health, and here's a challenge that I heard from a preacher that said, what's our spiritual health like? We know what, or we have some idea of what our physical health is like. And can you imagine if your spiritual health, some people don't know that they're spiritually dead. Imagine, but as believers, we believe we have at least some spiritual health. Imagine if your spiritual health was instantly changed to your physical health. In other words, your physical body reflected your spiritual health. How many of us, this preacher said, how many of us would be healthy enough to make it out the door? And so that's a challenge for me, and it's a challenge for you to take responsibility for our spiritual health, to seek God daily. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of David and the fact that he was a man after your own heart, a man that knew your word, a man that was committed to you and committed to following you. Even though he sinned, and he sinned grievously, you offered him forgiveness, and we thank you for offering us forgiveness through Christ. Whether it's for the first time or as we confess our sins on a daily basis, you will forgive us. We thank you for that. And we ask that you would encourage us to follow after you, to seek you on a daily basis, to be dedicated to prayer, to fellowship, and to your word, that we may be close to you, not just for a day or two, not just on Sunday, but every day and for many years in the future. So we ask for this and for this blessing, and that you would keep us safely as we part. In Jesus' name, amen.